broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances are brilliant by our founding fathers. One of the great restoration solutions we have. We don't need a revolution, ladies and gentlemen, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth certainly is our quest. Welcome to the broadcast. We hope for your help. LibertyRoundtable.com, our main website, LibertyNewsRadio.com for award-winning, nationally syndicated lineup of incredible talk show hosts and more. LibertyNewsDaily.com for an award-winning news service, to say the least. LibertyNewsDaily.com. Sign up for the email alerts to end up in your inbox daily. Or go with your any device, mobile device, whatever you like, to LibertyNewsDaily.com. Quick recap of Friday's broadcast. We talked about Trump named this fast food CEO. He's a critic of the fight for the $15 an hour movement. Andrew Puzder as labor secretary. Will he be good? Time will tell. World exclusive CIA agents. I guess they set to kill Fidel Castro, and turned out, well, a woman that was involved with the CIA had a secret love child with Fidel Castro, Radar Online reports. Yeah, other conspiracy theorists are saying Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is also Fidel Castro's love child. I guess not the two same love children, though. Very strange stuff. Again, fake news everywhere, folks. Be very careful. We don't have any way to validate any of this stuff. Just 13, quote, right-wing extremists have been charged with terrorism since 9/11, Daily Caller reports. The mainstream press wants you to believe that, you know what, right-wing domestic terrorists are everywhere. It isn't true. Just 13 since 2001. It's not even close to one a year. And then how many of those were never even convicted? How many of those were agent provocateurs and or manipulated by government provocateurs? How many of these were false flags? I'll give you an example if you doubt my questioning of this. In the Ammon Bundy case, of course, Ammon Bundy got off. The jury said, we agree with Ammon, not with the government. And the government had literally 16 agent provocateurs within that venue. There was only a couple of hundred people tops that were even the original takeover in the Malheur Refuge. And 16 of them, so, you know, somewhere between 8 and 15% of them were government provocateurs, folks. With the Randy Weaver scenario, again, a government provocateur led Randy Weaver into the problems he had. It just goes on and on and on and on. CNN spent the election cycle peddling fake news, calling Trump supporters racist. Then now they're hit with a class action racism lawsuit by their own black employees. Wow, CNN's in trouble over that one, huh? I guess I'm the Washington Post. They wrote a big old expose on fake news, if you will. Well, now they're being forced to admit that a huge section, a key part of their fake news story, well, maybe fake. Oh, boy. Yeah, they say a big, huge piece of their story might not even be credible. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, we had our guest on Mr. Richard Mack. CSPOA.org, that's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. We're going to have an incredible event January 21st, 2017, at the Embassy Suites in Maryland, just outside of the BWI Airport. January 21st, all day Saturday, the day after the inauguration, training the trainers, 3T training, CSPOA.org to learn more. I'm going to be there. Hope you'll be there as well. Just what is the CSPOA? Who is involved? We talked about my speech. Sheriffs will be backed by Americans, or the miracle of America, if you will. We talked about, I guess, India has all kinds of call centers posing as the IRS, according to CNN Money. We talked about that and how evil and abusive and hostile and anti-American the IRS really is. Hopefully Donald will shut it down. Kurt also reports good news about the IRS. I question Kurt's good news, though. It's fake news. It's not as good as he thinks it is. But I guess it's better than the alternatives, right? I guess the government said, hey, Kurt, you know, we're going to audit you, and we say you owe a bunch of money. Kurt says, well, here's the proof. They go, oh, sorry. I guess we'll leave you alone then. You're right, we were wrong. We'll leave you alone for now, but we're always going to leave open the possibility that we could come after you again. I have a hard time thinking that's good news, although I guess agreeing with Kurt is better than the alternative. All right. Got that going on. Kurt Crosby, you with me, sir? All right, we'll have to try to get Kurt back. In the meantime, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on your radio. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you for having me, Sam. Good to be here this morning.
You're very welcome. A couple of quick tidbits in the news. Rudolph Giuliani, a fiercely loyal Trump ally, is out for Secretary of State. Looks like Rex Tillerson, the head of ExxonMobil, is in. What do you think of that, Lowell?
Well, I don't know anything about Rex. I did see the headline this morning, and we'll just have to wait and see on that, Sam. I just don't want to pool any ignorance this morning. I don't know him. I don't know what his policies will be, but it's an important post to fill. So
I agree, but here's what I do know.
Yeah.
You know, we're concerned about government. We're concerned about draining the swamp. But what you really got is, you know, you've got three areas of, in my opinion, collusion going on. You got government, you got big business, and you got Wall Street. I know they're kind of one and the same, and it's weird, the revolving doors. But again, this is a big, huge government slash quasi-exec being put in. And I say government, even though he's supposedly in the private sector, because Exxon is supposed to be private. But when you really study the deals that go back and forth in government and everything else, it's fairly fascistic, unfortunately. We've got kind of a problem here. I don't really see a drain in the swamp. I just see a new guard of the same kind of folks that have been there forever.
Well, I think that's one thing Ron Paul warned about several months ago. When in his article, I don't have it up right now, but I just remember reading that he said, you know, nothing's really going to change. You know, business as usual. Basically, Washington, D.C. will continue to be Washington, D.C., continue to trample on our rights, and let states and so forth stand up to put the federal government back in its constitutional cage. But, you know, when's that going to happen anytime soon? So it's up to us, ladies and gentlemen, to do that very thing. It's not going to, in other words, Washington, D.C. is not going to curb its own tyrannical approach to the people. It's up to the people to put the federal government back in its constitutional cage and not the other way around. It's not going to happen from Washington, D.C.
And it's not going to happen from one man, Donald Trump, even though they're now claiming that he's got the most conservative cabinet in decades. I hope that's true, but, you know, time will tell. I just see, you know, when you put the head of ExxonMobil in, when you put all the, there's insider after insider that we hear being put in. Another example is Donald Trump now has announced Kathy McMorris Rogers, congresswoman from Washington, to be Interior Secretary. So now you got another insider, a congresswoman, going to Washington. Well, I guess she's already been in Washington, right? Now is the Interior Secretary. The only good part about that I can say is at least she's from the West. At least she may have an understanding, being from some of the mountain states or, you know, western states, a little bit more about land. So hopefully that's good news. But again, another government official being put in place, right?
You know, one danger here, Sam, is that if they say that this particular cabinet and all of his advisors are, you know, the most right or the most extremely conservative or whatever, then they're going to paint. You know, if that's the way they paint the cabinet, then of course the conservatives are going to take a hit when this particular cabinet doesn't achieve everything that Donald Trump wants to achieve, and any bad thing that happens in the nation will be blamed on this ultra conservative cabinet that Trump has assembled. And that's a real danger, because, you know, it's not like people calling our economy a market, a free market economy. It's not. We've got a central bank that determines what our interest rates are. We have government intervention left and right all day long. And people, you know, the news media tries to call us a free market. There ain't no way that we live in a free market. I mean, we may be freer than in other countries, but we're in no way what you call a free market economy.
Amen to that. Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org. There's a huge fracture in the government. The question is, which side are you on? I don't think you can not pick sides is the problem. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. Lowell Nelson, Kirk Crosby, Sam Bushman on your radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, looks like Rudy Giuliani's out. Rex Tillerson, the head of ExxonMobil, is in, I guess, for Secretary of State. Kathy McMorris Rogers, congressman from Washington State, in as Interior Secretary. Now, there's a big, interesting battle going on within government. You see the fracture in the Republicans. You see the fracture in the Democrats. You see the fracture insiders versus the rest of us. It's hard to tell whose side who's on, but there's now a huge split between the CIA and the FBI. FBI disagrees with CIA on Russian influence in the presidential election. They say the difference in the two intelligence agencies are a reflection of their different, quote, institutional styles. CIA officials often use past behavior and analysis based on gathered intelligence to determine how to advise leaders. Whereas the FBI comes from more of a factual base, we got to have the hard evidence. There's a lot of innuendo. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence. That's it, the FBI leaders are now saying. So there's a big old rift in America. Do you agree with Hillary Clinton that, hey, Russia interfered with the elections and we ought to really put the brakes on? Hillary should win because the Russians helped Donald. National security breach of epic proportions. Fraud. It's fascinating because the Democrats mocked Donald when he said there might be fraud in the elections. They stopped the recount because they discovered too much fraud. Now where do we go from here? There's a big rift between the FBI and the CIA. The FBI says, hey, we don't have any proof. They're not saying there wasn't a hack. They're saying they don't have proof of Russians manipulating elections. CIA is saying we got all the circumstantial evidence we need. Liberals on TV are mocking anybody who stands with the FBI or with Donald Trump. And they say it's a given. It's a foregone conclusion. The circumstantial evidence is there. Lowell Nelson, this to me is absolutely crazy. You cannot, without hardcore factual evidence that would hold up in court, start accusing publicly other countries of some kind of an espionage tampering with elections scenario. That's big, heady stuff that could lead to war, sir. This is out of control, and in my humble opinion, completely irresponsible. However, the mainstream press is saying Donald and those deniers are irresponsible. To me, they're peddling fake news. What's your take on the whole story?
Yeah, that was my take too, Sam. I think that's a bunch of fake news that they are concocting in order to create some sort of, quote, crisis, end quote, which would give them a pretext for taking more control of our election process. I think they're upset that, you know, their candidate didn't win, their candidate in this case being Hillary Clinton. It's kind of like what happened in Utah in 2010, 2012, when Senator Bob Bennett lost his bid for re-election at the convention. It raised the anger of the establishment, and they decided, well, we can't let the delegates in Utah go around deciding who's going to who they want to represent them. We want to continue to maintain control of who goes to Washington, D.C., and so they then began an effort to take over the election process in the state of Utah, and they are, you know, they're somewhat along that pathway to success, and so I see this similar thing happening here. I think they're upset that Hillary Clinton didn't win. They want an excuse to take tighter control of the election, because if they can get more centralized control of the election, then they can more easily determine the outcome of any election, any future election. And we need to oppose that, ladies and gentlemen. We need to instead work for decentralized elections. We need election judges in every precinct being the ones who count the votes, reporting their totals to their county seats, and then verifying that the county seat reported their number, actually received their number correctly, actually received the number they reported, and that the county transparently rolls those numbers up into grand totals for the state. And that's really how elections ought to be run. We can't let this fake news stampede us toward a solution where the state, meaning the federal government, takes more control of our elections. We just can't allow that, Sam.
You know, Ron Paul is a man of peace, a man of sound understanding, and he literally wrote a column about this very issue regarding fake news manipulating our elections. And you got to debate, is Russia tampering with the elections? Well, maybe so. Governments tamper with everything. But have we been hacked, and do we have hard evidence of a fact? And the answer is clearly no, claims the FBI. And the CIA and the FBI need to get together and have a come-to-Jesus moment, pardon the phrase, but they need to get an understanding of, hey, if we have the evidence, let's talk about it. If we don't, it's absolutely irresponsible to finger other countries when it may or may not even be true. No one's saying it's not true. What we're saying is we don't have evidence that it's true. Meanwhile, though, if we peddle this false news narrative that, hey, Russia has tampered with the elections. Russia and Donald Trump are colluding and Shanghaiing, if you will, their, you know, the country over this. That's absolutely irresponsible and can lead to war, in my opinion. However, not only do they want to promote the war mentality, not only do they want to try to unseat Donald Trump and put Hillary in his place, but it's a free speech violation of epic proportions. Ron Paul actually writes his whole column about this time, right, Lowell?
That's right, Sam. This is a column that Ron posted yesterday on the Ron Paul Institute. You can read it there, ronpaulinstitute.org. I always enjoy listening to Ron Paul, Sam. I love reading his columns because of his deep understanding of the underpinnings of liberty and how that results in prosperity for the people, you know, freedom and liberty for the people. He begins his column this way, and I quote, "A major threat to liberty is the assault on the right to discuss political issues, seek out alternative information sources, and promote dissenting ideas and causes such as non-interventionism in foreign and domestic affairs. If this ongoing assault on free speech succeeds, then all of our liberties are endangered," end of quote. And you and I both know, Sam, that a number of states and even the federal government, Congress, has floated legislation that would require political activist organizations such as the Campaign for Liberty and such as the Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officers Association, legislation that would require these kinds of organizations to disclose their database of donors. Why do they justify this requirement, or how do they justify such a requirement? Well, they say transparency. You know, we want transparency. Well, you know, do you think that transparency ought to be required of a private organization? Is this not similar to the privacy to which a voter is entitled? And why is it that we don't require voters to disclose their votes? Well, you and I both know, Sam, that if voters were required to disclose how they vote, there would be tremendous pressure exerted on voters to vote a particular way. If you're an employer, for example, or a union boss, you could literally force or coerce members of your union or members of your company to vote in a particular way, or you might lose your job. I mean, that's serious, very serious, and I think that's one of the reasons why the voters, for years historically, years and years, they've always been able to cast a secret ballot. I mean, it hasn't always been that way. There has been times when union bosses would actually look over. I mean, I don't know this firsthand, but I've heard stories where union bosses would actually look over the shoulders of their voters while they voted in order to ensure that they voted a particular way. And that is the danger of transparency of private organizations. Sam?
All right, quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell's banging on all cylinders as always. Fake news everywhere. Propaganda. It's a great threat to American free speech. It's a great threat that might lead us into war. We need to be very careful. Thank heavens the mainstream press is losing ground. Let's talk about it.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
An effort by the FBI to frame WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange failed after the government of Iceland refused to play along, according to Ögmundur Jónasson, who was the country's interior minister at the time. In June 2011, the Obama administration suggested to Icelandic officials that hackers were targeting that government's software systems and offered to assist them. A few weeks later, Jónasson recalls, the administration sent a plane load of FBI agents to Iceland seeking our cooperation, what I understood as an operation set up to frame Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, he continues. Since they had not been authorized by the Icelandic authorities to carry out police work in Iceland, and since a crackdown on WikiLeaks was not on my agenda, I ordered that all cooperation with them be promptly terminated, and I also made clear that they should cease all activities in Iceland immediately. If required to choose between WikiLeaks on the one hand and either the FBI or the CIA on the other, I would have no difficulty in choosing, Janassen concludes. I would be on the side of WikiLeaks. In the same interview, Janassen recounted discussions of extending Icelandic citizenship both to Julian Assange and fugitive former NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Liberty Roundtable Live is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Please do business with the good guys today. That's 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829 or thepowermall.com. We're talking to Lil Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a great job as always. And we're talking about the FBI and the CIA. Disagrees on Russian influence in the elections. Wow, what a rift in the country, huh? Ron Paul has a column that's out, incredible, at ronpaulinstitute.org. And he talks about the war on fake news is part of the war on free speech. A major threat to liberty is the assault on the right to discuss political issues, seek out alternative information sources, and to promote dissenting ideas and viewpoints. Not to mention causes like non-intervention foreign policy in foreign and domestic affairs. If this is allowed to continue, folks, we have serious problems. If free speech is in jeopardy, then all of our liberties are in question. Ron Paul says the latest and potentially most dangerous threat to the First Amendment is the war on, quote, fake news. Wow. Lowell wisely says, and I agree with him, we believe the mainstream produces more fake news than anyone. And they do so at the behest of the government and or party in power. Now, I agree with that, except for a slight modification. When we say the government or the party in power, right now you got the Republicans in power. But you got Donald Trump as the president, and now there's a rift in the news. The mainstream versus new media. The insiders in the Republicans versus the rest of us. It seems like the divisions in America never end. This column is brilliant and spot on target when it comes to free speech. And really, if we lose the free speech right, we've lost everything else, lol.
That's right, Sam. I really like the way Ron Paul hits. He has a 1-2-3 punch here. He first mentions the legislation that would require, you know, activist organizations to disclose their database of donors. That's a threat. We've seen legislation to that effect. We need to oppose that. Number two, he points out this legislation that would bar activist organizations from distributing information about candidates several weeks or months prior to an election. And, of course, that's just when voters begin to tune in to that type of information. And so if there's legislation passed that bars that activity, then you're going to have less informed electorate going to the polls, casting their votes, and therefore their votes will not be as well informed as they would be if activist organizations could distribute their information just prior to the election. So that's number two. And then number three, he talks about the fake news that you've just highlighted, Sam, and how it is that there's a few internet hoaxes that get all this. They get propped up and to justify government regulation and even outright censorship of internet news sites. This truly is a fake flag operation. It's an operation by deception. The government wants to deceive you into believing that you need government monitoring and censoring everything that you see and hear in the news. And then he spends the rest of his column, which is about the second half of his column, talking about this assault on fake news sites and what it could mean for you and me. There are people today who are calling for a gatekeeper, which is Hillary Clinton's infamous word or term for use in censoring the internet, because we don't want, according to Hillary and her underlings, we don't want fake news stories and so forth. Well, you and I both know that it's the fake news stories that help lead us to war in Iraq and Afghanistan, the destabilization of countries in the Middle East, which has led to the rise of ISIS, which is partially funded by the U.S. administration, and the deaths of millions of people in the Middle East, our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, who have been either displaced or maimed in battles or killed because of our interventionist policies in the Middle East. And so this war on fake news is a terrible attack on the First Amendment, and we can't allow that to happen. The only good news here, Sam, that I see is that the influence of the mainstream media appears to be waning. I hope that's the case, and I hope that, ladies and gentlemen, you will share this show and others like it with your friends. We need more and more people who will turn away from mainstream media and turn toward alternative media, which gives you the facts and which gives you information such as can be found here on Liberty Roundtable, because the less advertising money that goes to the mainstream media, the weaker they will become.
And the interesting thing about it is they know they're on the way out. They're panicking. They're attacking us like never before. You would think they wouldn't pay any attention to us, but the biggest newspapers in the country are literally pointing their finger at us, calling us racist, saying that we're cooperating with Russia in some kind of a nefarious conspiracy theory without evidence idea. They're just absolutely panicking because they're losing their gatekeeping control, and they know it, and they don't really know what to do now. And so what they first do is ignore us, then we get big enough and they attack us. It just proves we're right over the target and firing on all cylinders, sir.
Absolutely right, Sam. Ron Paul concludes his column with this simple sentence, this simple but powerful sentence, quote, "All Americans, no matter their political persuasion, have a stake in defeating these efforts to limit free speech," end of quote. And so I call upon all of our good listeners out there, Sam and Kurt, liberty-minded people, to support our unalienable right to assemble and to speak and to print what is on our minds. Not only is it okay to be critical of one's government, Sam, it is the duty of a patriot.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot of work to do, but the new media is taking center stage. We do need your financial support, though, to make it all happen. LibertyRoundtable.com. LibertyNewsRadio.com. Let me say that again. LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com, three award-winning websites that I believe really tell the story. Now, we're not the only ones, although we are a critical group. But there are other people standing up for liberty, And the mainstream press continues to just absolutely double and triple and quadruple down on their false narrative, and they know it. Okay, we believe the mainstream media produces more fake news than anyone bar none, and we're going to give you some stories that prove the point. Number one is, what's that guy's name in Africa? I think his name is Nelson Mandela. He's dead now. But they ate a lot of this guy's incredible hero. The guy was evil. The guy was a despot. The guy was a thug. And now we run around and act like that guy's just awesome. He was a liberator of all kinds of people. Wow. Well, the same thing's true with Fidel Castro. He's recently passed away. And now the mainstream press running around lauding Castro as a hero and a liberator of his people. Couldn't be further from the truth. The real Fidel Castro was a hero or cold-blooded murderer. That's kind of the starting point. You've been doing some studying on Fidel. The mainstream press, not even telling the truth. They're just involved in fake news everywhere regarding this, aren't they?
Well, they sure are, Sam. I have learned a ton about the Fidel Castro this past week. One of the great sites is the Mises.org, the Mises Institute. And at Mises.org, there was a post there by Yuri Maltsev who notes, and he just sort of gives a thumbnail sketch of Fidel Castro and demonstrates that he is not a hero that the mainstream press and Hollywood make him out to be, but in fact is a cold-blooded murderer. About half the Cuban population lives with a household median income of between $300 to $400 a year, and the rest of Cuba, those in the urban areas, have a household income of between $1,000 and $2,000 per year, Sam. And that is, just indicative of the starvation.
In other words, they make somewhere between $25 and $150 a month is all.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking just $2 or $3 a day there. And he documents these major problems. For the past 6 decades under Fidel Castro's steel fist, the Cuban people have been fighting malnutrition and starvation, perhaps more so than even the tyrannical dictates of Fidel Castro.
And the hatred for Fidel all over southern Florida is incredible as well. We'll talk about that, but then we'll talk about, you know what, when thugs get in power, it's really hard to unseat them. It looks like business as usual even after his death. More in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on your radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little I was taught that smoking was wrong. And in school, from a very young age, I was taught that smoking was not acceptable.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think smoking, for everybody, no matter what you say, leads to other things because it just opens the door wider and wider.
Other studies have found that if you don't smoke in high school, you probably never will.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped, and having the faith in God while I was raised and knowing that there would always be somebody there for me has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor Score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so Lil Nelson doing a great job talking about Fidel Castro, you know, recently dead, and he's been lauded as a hero forever. And, you know, there used to be a communist threat in the Bay of Pigs, and, you know, they act like they tried to assassinate and get rid of Fidel and everything else, but it isn't true. They've really made the American people not deal with the Cubans, and they've created a rift between the countries. But most Cubans know the truth and try to flee to America when they can. I shouldn't say most Cubans try to flee to America. Most feel trapped. The bold ones come to America, but the hatred in Miami for Fidel Castro is huge. They're supposed to have a massive celebration for when he died, but they did. But yet, well, what happened is now it's just kind of back to business as usual. I don't know if enough's going to change. I don't know if there's going to be freedom in Cuba. But we've really got, in my humble opinion, a communist nation right off our shores. It's dangerous, to say the least. However, that doesn't mean that I believe we should go to war with Raul or whoever else. I think we should work with them. But I do think that there's a way out of communism and a way out of tyranny in dictatorships. And we need to really advocate for that. But we haven't done it. We've been publicly acted like, oh, it's an evil regime, but privately we've really helped them and worked with the dictator there, but not the people. And it's a tragic scenario. And now we run around and act like this guy's a hero, Lowell.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam. And one of the great lessons we ought to learn from Fidel Castro's Cuba is that the mainstream media in the United States was complicit in his rise to power, and in his maintenance of that power, and in the very stories that we are seeing today about his life. He did not allow a major news organ to have a bureau in Havana unless they sanitized the news that they fed back here to the United States. This one gentleman, whose name is Fontova, talks about the fact that there was a reporter who was working for one of the big news organizations, either ABC or NBC or one of the big ones, and took an assignment to Havana. And when he got to Havana, he realized that everything he had been told in the previous several years about Cuba was not the whole truth. I mean, what he heard was what Castro wanted him to hear. And so he filed a report, he filed a news story that actually exposed some of the truth about Havana and about Cuba. And within a week, this fellow lost his job at this news bureau in Havana. He was out of there in a heartbeat, so to speak, because he wasn't going to sanitize his news the way that he was supposed to. And so everything that came out of Havana, whether it came out of ABC or NBC or CBS, whatever, was suspect. It was sanitized. And so the lesson there for us, ladies and gentlemen, is that we must not trust these major news organizations, particularly those that have bureaus in these, in the bowels of a communist Marxist country. They are simply telling a story, a sanitized version of some news that occurs there in that country, and it doesn't help the people of the country. and it doesn't help us understand their true situation.
And the reality is, in order for them to have that access, and we need to think about this on a domestic scale as well, in order to get access, you've got to play the game. And so you know whenever they've got, as Lowell mentioned, a bureau in Cuba or whatever, or an appropriate relationship with press access, if you will, whether it be Donald Trump, whether it be Bill Clinton, whether it be George Bush, whether it be Barack Hussein, if they allow you to get on the plane with the president and be part of the press corps and have access to the White House or the equivalent of the dictatorship house in Cuba or whatever you want to say, you know there's got to be an agreement to go along with their agenda, or they wouldn't be there, Lowell.
Exactly right, Sam. I'm just looking at my notes about today's show, Sam, and I just marvel that Cuba used to be a very powerful and a rich country. In the early 1900s, before Fidel Castro came to power, Cuba was a bigger magnet for immigrants in the early part of the 1900s than even the United States, Sam. I did not know that. It was a rich nation. And, Batista came to power, and he was a dictator, yes, but you didn't see people jumping on homemade rafts attempting to flee from Batista. There were, in fact, about 20 times as many people have died trying to escape Cuba under Castro than died trying to escape East Germany, Sam. I just have to mention this. I rarely mention another podcast while I'm a guest on Liberty Roundtable.
By the way, feel free, though. Tom Woods is a great friend.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. TomWoods.com/797.
And the 797 relates to the episode, folks. 797.
Right. Thank you very much. So go to TomWoods.com/797 and listen to an interview Tom had with a gentleman named Umberto Fontova, who's the author of three great books where he provides evidence of everything he says on the show. And listening to this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, will give you a view of Fidel Castro that you won't get anywhere else. And Umberto is he's easy to understand. He's entertaining. He's an informative. And let me just tell you this one small tidbit about him. His family fled Cuba in 1961, just two or three years after Fidel Castro came to power there. Well, just as they were preparing to board the plane, they were going to visit their family in Miami. That was the pretext for their getting on the plane. Just as they were about to board the plane, the authorities grabbed his dad and began dragging him away from the plane, from the lines of people getting on the plane. And, of course, the family thought the very worst would happen because this is a period of time when dozens of people were murdered by firing squad every week in Cuba. And it's a sad, tragic story.
It was a literal hostile takeover, and it basically had a dictator at the helm that was literally ruthless ever since. And it's continuing with Raul, not as much because the people are getting a little bit more bold and some things, but we're still not getting the real story, ladies and gentlemen. It's a tragic scenario. Our prayers are with the Cuban people, and we just wish the mainstream press and our government would tell the truth and deal with it in a truthful way. If they really wanted Fidel Castro dead back in the day, he would have been dead, Lowell.
That's right. In fact, there were a number of dissidents who tried to kill Castro after he came to power, and their plans were somehow, they got leaked out to the United States, and it was the U.S. ambassador to Cuba.
Because the hope was that the United States would actually help or support, didn't happen.
Exactly right. The U.S. ambassador to Cuba was the one who then informed Castro about the plot to assassinate him. And then, obviously, Castro captured those dissidents, tortured them, and then killed them. But, the U.S. has been complicit in this for decades, Sam. The mainstream media has been complicit in this for decades, and we have been snookered. As I studied this topic this week, Sam, I just couldn't believe the lies.
But we've been snickering about so many people. Nelson Mandela, which I started out with, Fidel Castro, Martin Luther King Jr., which isn't even his real name. The list goes on and on when they have an agenda to push.
That's right. And the bottom line for us, the moral of the story, Sam, is that we simply cannot believe the mainstream media, what it tells us, because for the even at best, Sam, the mainstream media gives you only part of the story. And so, you know, you're right. I remember a movie that I watched a year or two ago about Nelson Mandela, painting him as a hero of South Africa, when in fact he killed thousands and thousands of people there. The necklace where they burn a tire around a person's neck.
Yes.
He invented that particular form of torture and killing. And
understand when we say he did it, you know what, he had his minions do it. Oftentimes despots don't do the dirty deed themselves. They literally force others to do their bidding. But, you know, we've got dictators everywhere. And the sad part is it's a violation of agency. It's a violation of freedom. And it's tragic when the United States becomes the greatest obstacle from exposing and hopefully changing these realities.
I grew up in a time, Sam, when, you know, the 1960s and 70s, what I learned when I was in school, this is a public school, government school, what I learned was that the last big dictator was Hitler, Adolf Hitler, who killed 6 million Jews, and I'm not downplaying that. I'm only saying that that was what I thought growing up was the last big atrocity ever to afflict mankind on the face of the earth. And what I have come to understand as an adult now, in the past 10, 20 years, is that there are genocides occurring right now.
More people have been killed in this century than ever before. It's out of control. I shouldn't say this century, meaning 2004. I'm talking about in our lifetimes, 19th and whatever. 20th and 21st century is kind of an idea. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the war is not peace. That cover-up is not freedom. Fake news is everywhere, peddled mainly by the mainstream in America. Tom Woods is spot on, tomwoods.com. Check out that podcast. Fidel Castro was an absolute thug. And most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand for freedom. Please support LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. Lowell Nelson, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Sam. Thank you for having me.
Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, always spot on, does a phenomenal job. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can and will restore America. This nation shall...